Welcome to Manager Tools. Trinity Pushback. Feedback is nitpicking. Part 1. This cast answers these questions. What do I say when people say sooner and smaller feedback is nitpicking? Is using the Manager Tools feedback model nitpicking? Should I be worried about pushback on the feedback model? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Managerial success isn't magic. Management is a teachable and learnable process. So why fumble through your career to reinvent the wheel of management? It seems ineffective and inefficient to struggle through when the answers are right in front of you. Join us at an upcoming Effective Manager conference by registering at manager-tools.com/training. We'll share with you the wheel.
When I first read the show notes, Mark, I was like, oh my God, he's going to quote unquote admit that feedback is nitpicking. So this can't be right.
Yeah, you misunderstood.
I'm gonna have to put my foot down. We're not gonna publish this cast. And then I realize, okay, he hasn't lost his mind.
No. So yeah, I've been getting this for quite a while. I've had a note that I needed to write this cast, and I finally decided to write it when somebody came up to me during a client event recently and said, yeah, one of my directs is saying he will not accept feedback in the Manager Tools model, and he wants HR involved because he feels I'm nitpicking him. And, you know, I'd heard that hundreds of times over the years. And I said, well, you know, I walked him through it, and he said, well, that's super easy. I should have been able to figure that out. I said, no, you're thinking about delivering. He pushes back, and, you know, and then he told me the guy's been a problem performer for a while and so on. I said, and you're still on the Maguire hump of the horseman curve, and he thinks, or at some level, he knows that this is not good for him, that you have a tool that you can be brief and polite, and you can start giving him a lot more feedback, and you can identify patterns sooner, and you can hold him accountable sooner, and he's worried. And I said, and you know what? You've convinced me. I've got to write this podcast. And the reason this podcast is important, guys, is the Manager Tools feedback model, the four-step model, tackles the whole idea of performance communication between manager and direct completely differently than most managers do. No offense to you if you don't use our model. It's normal, probably, in the minds of most people to do it the way they do it. Most of us get it wrong. The big thing is we wait too long to give feedback until there's a pattern and so on. As our friend Matt Bentliff likes to say, sooner and shorter, meaning give your feedback sooner and smaller. Give feedback on smaller things sooner after they happen. Don't wait for longer and later or larger and later.
Isn't that the problem, though? Is that because the things you're talking about, giving people feedback on, are so small, right? They think that that's nitpicking.
Yeah, it's right. And here's the thing. That's only because of the perspective they have of what other managers who aren't doing it well have been doing in terms of waiting and waiting until there's a bigger thing and we need to have a conversation about an issue. Come into my office. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. And there's definitely a feeling that you're actually a little bit in trouble. So addressing things when they're small is better. It's better for performance. It's better for the relationship. But if the only feedback you get is negative and the only feedback you get is serious, changing in this way feels nitpicking. But in fact, it's smart. So look, our cast has three points we're going to make. First of all, we're going to talk about how the Manager Tools feedback model is different. We want to lay a theoretical groundwork for the ideas in the model. And then we'll tell you why some directs and some managers even think wrongly that going sooner and shorter, not larger and later, sooner and smaller, not larger and later, is nitpicking. And then we'll give you a whole bunch of ideas about how to respond.
Yeah. I just mentioned for those who are new listeners, if you haven't listened to the cast on the feedback model, it's probably a good thing to do. And it's pretty fundamental to our philosophy and about manager tools. So that's one of those things, if you haven't listened to, you really need to. You get more out of what we talk about every week if you understand the feedback model. And Mark's going to talk about it, so you'll get an idea. But I don't think that's a good substitute for the actual feedback model CAS. So please take a look.
Yeah. And I'll just give you a high level. If you're wondering what it is, I'll tell you what it is. Let's say that Mike is my direct, and he's late with a deliverable to me that I need to put together a report or something. Rather than yelling, rather than taking him aside and having a 5-minute conversation where, as HR would say, we need to find out why Mike did what he did and we need to give him a voice and so on.
We need to have a conversation.
Yes. The Manager Tools feedback model says, no, we're going to use our one-on-ones. And again, we have podcasts for how to do a one-on-one effectively, all based on our testing of our models with real managers. After you've built a relationship with your directs, you can, in fact, be very direct, but polite and brief. And in fact, a tone of voice of forgiving. And you could say it like this. Hey, Mike, can I give you some feedback? When you're late with the deliverable that slows me down getting something to the boss, it slows me down and I got to come find you. Can you try to be on time next week?
Sure. No problem.
Yeah. That's it. What is that? I mean, that was 10 seconds and I was particularly wordy. Now, the beauty of us giving example right there is some of you are saying, who don't know our model, wow, that was really fast and I didn't get a chance to talk back. And we'll talk about the talk back thing, which is really a dumb idea. I mean, this whole idea that sit down with your people and talk about why they did something turns this all into an incredible mess.
Which is not intuitive. So listen to the cast.
No, folks. It's not. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. If you'd have told me that when I started testing different models that sooner and smaller would be better and that you could do this in 10 seconds, I would have said, no, because I was proceeding from the existing model, which is, you know, larger and later. But before I get into the details, Mike, we should share that we were recording this Sunday morning in a rare late recording because of some busy calendar events, but it gives us the chance to announce on air that yesterday at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Army beat the hell out of Navy in football, allowing Army to win the Commander-in-Chief trophy for the second time and to allow the Army football team to have 10 wins and to go to a bowl game. And for those of you who know the fantastic football movie, Remember the Titans, sitting on my back deck watching the game, I looked like the coach's daughter in Remember the Titans pacing back and forth in the stands, wringing her hands when the team wasn't doing very well. There are very few sporting events that I feel drama about. Game 7 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium might be one of them. But it was pretty great. And as you might imagine, Mike and I were texting each other during the game, and my brother Walt, who's class of 77, his wife Joanne, my parents, Dean and Gloria Horseman, my brother's daughters, Kay and Liza, were at the game and had a wonderful time. So a shout out to them as well.
The first time I enjoy an Army-Navy game is after the game and we've won, because the rest of the game, I don't.
Agony.
It's agony. It's awful. And folks, we beat, you know, Mark said we beat the hell out of them. Most of you are probably not Army fans. I understand. But 17-10 was beating the hell out of them. And it's, you know, almost every game is a touchdown or less. So it's so agonizing.
And if you hear me say that and it bothers you, I apologize. You should know that for those West Point graduates who are listening, which may only be Mike and I, the phrase as a plebe, if you're asked to say the days, which is too complicated to get into, but you're obligated to know how many days it is until Army plays Navy in football. And the way you say Army plays Navy in football, you're predictive by saying, you know, it is 12 and a butt days until Army beats the hell out of Navy. So that was harkening back to our plebe year in 1978. I mean, how many years ago is that, Mike? Is that 40 years ago?
Don't make me do the math. It's bad.
We're old. Okay, so let's get into it. Folks, we apologize. We try not to do that too often. So first of all, let's talk about how our feedback model is different and then why that leads to people's response to it. Most managers today And historically, and by historically, I mean in the last 25, 50 years, do a very poor job with our responsibility for performance communications. In fact, for many years, performance communications literally meant only one thing, an annual performance review. And that's too bad, because communicating about performance is effective managers' second most powerful tool in getting to your goals, which are results and retention.
All right. It's not in the show notes. I know we're not going to talk about it, but just like 50% of the people are going, well, what's the first? What's the first? So don't leave them hanging. What's the first?
All right. The quick derivation, the two most important responsibilities of all managers in all situations. Number one, results, organizational results, whatever you're supposed to get. You're supposed to know that from your boss. If you don't know what your organizational results are supposed to be in an objective fashion, you need to go talk to your boss. And if you don't know how to do that, we have a podcast called How to Get Your Results from Your Boss. The second thing we measure is retention, because you can't just be a whip-wielding boss and drive people to get results. It actually does work in the short term, but it's very expensive when you have to start replacing people because of turnover. So your two responsibilities are results, clarity number one, and number two, retention. Management science then tells us there are four behaviors. Know your people, talk about performance, ask for more, and push work down, which have by far the biggest effect on your ability to get results from retention. So I mentioned number one, know your people. How your people grade the strength of the trust between you and them is the single most correlated factor we've ever been able to find related to organizational results that you're obligated to achieve. If your trust score goes up with your people, typically your results and retention will go up. That's the most important. It frankly, according to our data, nearly a third of your ability to get your job done, about 30% of your ability to get your job done as a boss, is based on the trust score you get. Not what you think about your relationship with your directs, but what your directs think about their relationship with you. And usually there's a gap there, as you might imagine. Now, you'll notice I didn't say one-on-ones feedback coaching delegation in there. If you've not been to a conference, if you've never heard us do this, just to be clear, even there are certainly our podcasts about this that are free, and you can download them and listen to them. The reason I didn't mention one-on-ones feedback coaching and delegation is because you actually don't have to use our tools in order to achieve high levels of results and retention. But what we find is the correlation with high results and retention to be a highly effective manager, you still need a way to get to know your people, talk about performance, ask for more, and push work down. Those are the incontrovertible things about being a manager. What Manager Tools does, what Mike and I have done, is to make tools that you can use to achieve those objectives. In order to get to know your people, it can't just be your personality. The organization doesn't like that. The organization needs you to have an externally teachable technique for getting to know your people so that we can replace you as a manager, whether you get promoted or you decide to go somewhere else. And all we did was create tools that allow you to get those things. And so our guarantee to you is if you use our tools, you'll get those things. Part of the reason I think we have 2 to 3 million listeners every month now is because people have been trying our tools for the last 15 years. And of course, before that with Horseman and Company, another 10 or 15 years before that, and they work. If you do one-on-ones our way, you will get high trust scores from your directs. If you use our feedback model, you will maintain your relationship with your directs, and they will say, yes, my boss tells me how I'm doing. I'm satisfied. I know where I stand relative to my performance obligations. Okay, that was a long aside.
So one-on-ones, it's about trust and relationships. Okay, folks, and sorry, this is an example of where like one segue in a conversation, the Army-Navy game in this case, leads to another one, because I'm fearful that, particularly those who don't know us, that you know we're two West Point graduates, and we're going to talk about feedback, and we're going to come across as like just hard-driving, typical, stereotypical Army officers. And folks, the number one tool is about relationships and trust. So just keep that in mind, and don't draw any conclusions that we don't care about people and relationships. Our number one tool is about relationships.
Yeah. Well, look at the last chapter of my book, The Effective Manager. which is available on Amazon. The last chapter of my book is about love. And, you know, part of the reason the whole book is not about love is it's really hard to teach love. But we can teach tools that express love, and that's what we do.
All right. Sorry, folks. I just thought it important to cover that.
Right. Okay. So the question becomes, you know, most of us do a bad job. How do most of us do a bad job when it comes to performance communication? There are basically three key failures for managers who communicate about performance. Now, I'll come back to that whole, there are three failures for managers who do anything at all, okay? First, and this is one that blows people away, the conversation that managers have so often with their directs is about the past and not the future, which is a dead subject. Second, the manager delivers the message so poorly, it's not well understood. Folks, you can't even comprehend how much video I have of managers giving feedback where the manager said, yeah, they got it. And we asked the direct later. We're talking upwards of 40% of directs say, no, I'm not exactly sure what he meant. I know he's not happy with this, but I don't know.
I have no idea what I have to do differently. I know it didn't work, but I have no idea what to do.
Therefore, right. Very ineffective feedback. And third, the manager waits too long to communicate about weak performance. Now, here's why I said it the way I did. Those top three do not address managers' greatest problem with communication about performance, which is the complete lack of communication about performance. And I'm not considering an annual review to be communicating about performance. We've derived that a couple of times. It is, but it's a special case. If you don't know this, and we have podcasts about preparing and writing and delivering annual reviews, and this podcast is coming out at Christmas time. So if you're not already a member, if you've not already downloaded our RSS feed, you don't know that in Thanksgiving every year, we have a Hall of Fame cast, a cast that's proven to be incredibly popular over the last 15 years. And that cast is about writing, preparing, and delivering annual reviews every year so that you have a reminder as you're getting ready to write performance reviews, assuming your organization is like so many other stupid organizations and everybody's review happens at the same time of the year, rather than my friends actually at Premier Truck Group, a Roger Penske company, who, when I was with them last week, said, oh no, we do performance reviews on people's hiring anniversary, which is exactly the way it should be. So the big problem here is managers not communicating about performance. It's probably our biggest failing because, again, communicating about performance is our second most powerful managerial behavior. You know, again, I say probably or perhaps. Managers say, no, I talk about performance. And like, nah, okay, what do you mean? And they say this crazy stuff like, my people just know when I'm pleased or unpleased with their work. I mean, I've heard this stuff. I actually have a file of stupid things that people say, and I'm sure after nearly 15 years on the air, there's probably a file of people saying, I have audio of Mark saying stupid things. Anyway, another quote, I gave them their annual review, so that counts. It's like the old joke about bowling with a black cloth in front of the pins. You know, how would that feel? Or this, I only hire people I don't have to talk to about performance. If I do have to talk to them, I let them go. Or the other howler, which is my people self-correct automatically. It's just mind-boggling. These are all, what's the psychological word for somebody who, it's cognitive dissonance, right? I know I'm not doing it. So I'm essentially going to lie in a very impressive way to suggest that no, my problem is not my problem.
And that's the difference between Mark and I, because he's so much smarter than me. He says cognitive dissonance, and I just say crazy. Usually preceded by some adjective that I won't say on air.
Look, those of you who are longtime listeners know, there is no high performance without frequent feedback. I've told people before that the NFL, that every single player, and again, you say, well, why am I mentioning football? Because you are seeing something done at the highest possible level. I joke with people, if you could either watch a random high school football game in which you know none of the players on TV, or you could watch an NFL game, which would you choose? Most people would say NFL, almost everyone. And The reason why is you're seeing something done at an excellent level. In order to get to excellent level, guys, you have to be willing to bathe yourself in feedback. If you're already doing one-on-ones, as so many of you are, but you're struggling with implementing feedback, feedback will give you so much. It will give you, according to our science, 3/4 of the value of one-on-ones with, by the way, a great deal less time spent on it. So it may be the most leveraged of the manager tools, Trinity tools. If you're in the NFL, after every game, so I think it's Tuesday, actually, every single player on the field sits down with their position coach and goes through video that's isolated on them, showing them in slow motion every single play they made. And the coach and them go over where their shoulders and back and hips and knees and ankles are and what happened on the play and why they got beat and what they can learn from it and so on. Now, you might say, well, that's overkill. It's not if you want to be a high performer. It's the cost of entry if you want to be a high performer. And I had a friend of mine tell me recently something that he said, you know, the way you talk, the conclusion I'm drawing, Mark, is the absence of performance communication is a rejection of high performance. And I said, absolutely. And then he said, okay, but then what about these people who feel like they're performing at a high level? I said, well, they're just at the top of one S curve. They need to get up to another one. They assume that because they're doing so much better than everybody else, that that is high performance. But a superstar manager would say, no, there's more we can get out of this. There's more we can grow. There's better we can do. It's a bit like the performance of Apple stock. People are like, oh, the iPhone changed things. Oh my gosh, look at how you could get gotten rich if you put all your money in Apple. And then they come out with the iPad, and then they upgrade phones, and then, they continue to do well. So you've got to talk about performance communication. And the manager tools feedback model addresses the absence of performance communications in a myriad of ways. And various parts of the model are intended to address the three most common mistakes that we mentioned up above. So let's talk about those so we're clear on it. First of all, past versus future. Most managers think that performance communications are by definition about the past, the mistake or the success that we're talking about. Remember, guys, I've been saying the feedback model. We're going to get into more negative feedback in a minute, but the manager tools feedback model, there is only one model. It addresses positive or negative performance. So when I mention feedback, if I don't say negative, I'm talking about both positive and negative, which, by the way, makes things much easier once you start practicing. The mistake or the success of the direct is by definition in the past. So therefore, how could performance communications be about anything other than the past? So most managers do. They go over the mistake the direct made. Frequently, we actually, part of our motivation, part of our intent is to expect our direct to relive the mistake multiple times because we repeat it. We basically act as if, which is essentially defined as believing, believe to believe is to act as if. We believe and act as if that being completely clear about what happened in the past is the heart of the conversation. But when you start thinking about it, if all you do is think about management science and Army football, that's a misapprehension of what is happening when we're delivering performance communications. Yes, the event that caused the opportunity for performance communications, the direct behavior, is in the past by definition. So yes, the past event will be mentioned if for no other reason than clarity of the message, right? But guys, here's where we're confused. We are mentioning the past, but that's not the purpose of the conversation. The purpose of the performance communication is not the past. And the reason for that is simple. We can do nothing about the past. Our direct can do nothing about the past. Most managers, when we talk to them about it, give them some guidance, will admit that the only legitimate reason to communicate with the direct about their performance is to attempt to address their future behavior. And when you think about it a little bit, most of us get then that the purpose of feedback is to encourage effective performance in the future. That is the Manager Tools feedback model. The purpose of the model, which is derived from all effective feedback, is to encourage effective performance in the future. It's interesting. People give us a hard time about being nitpicking or, you know, you demand that I do one-on-ones with you. And we like to remind them that the first word in the definition of each of the four parts of the Trinity is the word encourage. And guys, even managers who yell at their directs, and it's less of it than there used to be, but it still happens, folks. Even managers who yell admit under questioning that their intent in yelling, beyond just selfish emoting, right, venting at a person, is that fear induced by the yelling is their motivation because it will cause the direct to change their bad behavior into good to avoid the ugly, embarrassing tirade. Even managers who yell are like, no, I'm yelling at them so they remember this and never do it again. And there's the word that matters. Again. Again is by definition a future word. So our feedback models addresses that failing by, first of all, we use only one delivery technique when giving performance communications. It's always the same. We teach our directs in advance about the technique and its purpose. We, remember, never introduce a change to how you manage people without first taking the time to introduce them to that change so they know what's coming and why you're doing it. That will reduce the pushback. If you think you can just start giving feedback using this new fangled technique, the first thing you're going to get is, what? I don't understand that. I don't understand what the context is of this conversation. Because you're my boss and you control my addiction to food, clothing, and shelter, I'm not comfortable now. I don't understand why you're doing it. I make the point of, if your boss always gives you a performance review at the end of the year, and then in June one day, he says, come into my office at the end of the day, and you come in and he says to you, sign your performance review, that would cause you concern. It's the combination of role power and something happening incredibly out of context. So you got to brief people on what you're doing. Some more, the other reasons that the feedback model addresses the issue of the past, delivering all the feedback you give, positive or negative, in a positive tone. So in other words, we're not trying to hurt a person or shame them about the past, because that's a double whammy because they can't do anything about it. And then the model actually addresses future behavior in step four. In the event it's positive feedback, you say, thank you, keep that up, well done. If it's negative feedback, you say, can you do that differently? Can you change that? Can you work on that? Or if you want to be bold about it, what could you do differently? Okay, so that's the first one, focusing on the past. The second issue, as we mentioned, is lack of understanding. The manager talks to the direct, but it's not clear what they were saying. I'll give you a good example, which if you're wondering, this is probably going to shock you a little bit. You present at your boss's staff meeting. It's a 5-minute presentation, and he sees you in the hall later and says, great presentation. Now, the manager would say after the fact, yeah, I just gave him feedback. Actually, what he did was he gave you praise. And the problem with praise as not being highly effective, it makes you feel good. Great. Good. But here's the problem with that. You don't know what specifically in his mind made it great, and so you don't know what you should repeat about your presentation. All of us have been in situations where our boss told, hey, that was a great presentation. And then 3 weeks later, you give a presentation that you prepared for the same way, and your boss like, can't believe that. That was terrible. Well, wait, nothing's different from the previous one. Oh, yes, it was. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. And the other one, you did this, and so on. Well, heck, why didn't you tell me that? But the boss thinks he's giving feedback.
Right. And you got to remember, folks, if you want to make them feel good, then praise is fine.
Yeah,
the purpose generally of feedback is not to make them feel good. It's to encourage future good performance, right? So you want them to repeat what they did. If they don't know what they did that was so good, how are they going to possibly repeat it, right?
Yeah. And your job is to get them to repeat good behaviors and reduce bad behaviors.
If they had a great performance, making them feel good is not bad per se, but again, right. it's not feedback.
I will remind everybody, I think I've mentioned this a couple of times over the last 15 years, that if you ever want to know how powerful the Manager Tools feedback model is, start using it give lots of positive and some negative feedback, and then have happen to you what a young manager who was leading a call center team at USAA had happened to him. He leaned back in the way the office was set up and gave some quick negative feedback to the person sitting to his left who had just taken a call that had kind of spiraled out of control a little bit. And the manager leaned over and said, "Hey, can I get some feedback?" And the representative said, "Yeah." And he says, "When you did that, when you used this word, I don't think that was helpful. I'll probably work on that." And the guy says, "You're right, boss. Thanks. I think you're right." Immediately, six or seven other people who inadvertently, and probably not great, but they overheard the manager giving feedback. Not all of them could have heard every word. They don't know what the feedback was about. They leaned back in their chairs and said, "Hey, I could use some feedback. What would your life be like if your directs knew that you were giving negative feedback to one of your team members and that made them want more negative feedback from you?" Now, for most of you listening, if you're not using the feedback model significantly, you're saying, "How is that possible?" What I would say is, and full disclosure, I don't want you to think I'm attacking you. You're doing feedback wrong. You can have a world. There's another S-curve you can get on. You can have a world where you give negative feedback and your directs appreciate it and thank you, and other directs want more of it. There's no burden to get over. There's no wall to climb. There's no fear in people's minds once they get used to the model. They're like, "Yeah, this is my boss. He cares about me. He's not going to attack me. He's just going to ask me to do it better because he understands that all of us make mistakes and we might as well talk about the mistake. We're not going to bury it." If you knew that your boss knew that you had made a mistake and it wasn't super trivial, but it wasn't into the earth sort of thing, would it make you more or less concerned if your boss didn't say anything to you about it? And about 80% of people in response to that question go, "Oh, it'd make me more concerned." But then we all individually go around not giving feedback to people. So again, lack of understanding. Far too many managers deliver comms which fail to achieve what they intended, effective future performance, because the communication itself is vague. And sometimes because the manager doesn't want to say what they did, because the manager doesn't understand what he or she should be giving feedback on and not giving feedback on. The classic one would be, "You've got a bad attitude." "No, I don't." Guys, that's not feedback. That's just dumb. Or the communication is misguided or misdirected or poorly delivered or whatever. Now, one of the common mistakes around the manager's message not getting through is lack of clarity in the manager's mind about where performance comes from. And I mentioned attitude. Managers often address, and if you're doing this, folks, if you're wondering why it's not working, it's because you're doing this. You're wrongly addressing your direct's attitudes or their intentions or their ideas or their emotions or their knowledge. All of those things are internal to the direct and not the purview of the manager. Your job is to get better future behavior. As I like to tell people, we focus on behavior because we don't get paid for attitude or intent. If people mean well but fail to achieve their goals repeatedly over the long term, you have to get rid of them. And you have to talk to them about failure to achieve the goals. If they then say, "But I meant well, I've got a great attitude, everybody likes me." And then you say, "You're right, you can continue to fail and it's okay because you meant well." Nobody would tolerate that in the long term. Another good example, if someone is killing it, if they're achieving every objective, but internally their attitude or intent or motivation is bad, you know, what are you going to do about that? He says, "Well, I'm going to keep them." And then everyone says at that point, "But they can't be killing it and have a bad attitude, a bad intention, a bad emotion, bad motivation kind of thing." And you'd be right. But if you're going to make that argument, the other argument is also true. Somebody who continues to fail, achieve performance objectives, you can't say they have a good attitude, good intentions, good ideas, and good emotions. It doesn't matter anyway. Your organization gets paid for organizational results, which are aggregated behavior. That's what matters, behavior. If a direct's intent and emotions and idea and knowledge are all aligned perfectly with the goals they're pursuing, and they do not engage in effective behaviors, then they're not effective. Then they're not a high performer, regardless of their emotional state. And again, organizational performance is nothing more than the aggregated behavior of every human being in your company. The manager who attempts to improve organizational performance by addressing something other than behavior is basically throwing away part of the value of the conversation. You're essentially attenuating your own effort at helping the direct and therefore yourself and the organization. As difficult as history and management has proven performance communication to be for most of us, it would seem crazy that you're going to have the conversation to make an effort, but then waste it because you're talking about the wrong thing. And look, it's even worse. Delivering performance communications, let's focus specifically on negative performance communications, to no effect, can actually be a worse outcome than doing nothing at all. I said this to somebody in Dallas this week, and they said, why? Why? So the manager who communicates poorly but believes she has communicated well now carries an assumption that the direct's performance will improve. When the performance doesn't improve due to the misunderstanding, poor communication of the manager now adds recalcitrance and ignorance to their existing appraisal.
Right. All non-behaviors, by the way.
Exactly. Even though we don't talk about emotions and feelings and intentions and feedback, we still feel those
things. Sure we do.
We certainly do, because we're human. In fact, when I was writing this podcast, I recognized that that's something we'd never said before. And so I opened up another Word document and started typing out what I had hoped would be a future tweet. And I started out at 180 characters. I'm down to about 120. And it goes like this. Managers delivering negative feedback poorly see directs who repeat the mistake as ignorant and recalcitrant. And then in all caps, this isn't the fault of the direct. So we have to get our own house in order talking about these things in order to feel that a direct's continued failure to achieve effectiveness in whatever behavior we're asking for is in fact truly on them.
Yeah, we got to get our stuff together so we can protect our directs from us. Right.
Yeah, that's fair, because we have power.
We're direct. Oh, my God.
That's why heavy lies the crown. And look, the manager tools feedback model addresses this failing, if you will, of so many of us, which, by the way, full disclosure, I don't want to point fingers at you guys. Mike and I did it wrong for years, too. So we address this in our model by using only one delivery technique, positive and negative, same tone both times. Teaching directs in advance about that technique and its purpose. And then again, the key thing is only addressing behavior. And we have podcasts specifically about the model and about behavior and examples as well.
Yeah. It was fascinating when I learned that the technique of slamming my fist on the conference room table was not an effective way to give feedback.
Feels good. Yeah, feels good.
I didn't do it that often, folks, but man, that's not good. All right. We got more, but this is probably 40 minutes.
I'm sorry we talked so much this time, guys.
Sorry, folks. We went off on some tangents. We try not to do that. We know that can be frustrating for some of you. So this will be our tangent cast for the next month or so.
Let us bring our effective manager, communicator, or interviewer training directly to you on site, where we can customize our guidance to your workforce. Not only that, but on a date that works best for your op tempo and at a fraction of the cost. For a flat investment that works out to less than 50% of the going rate for a public conference event, we can work with up to 30 of your folks. If you've ever wondered what your results might be if all of your managers were following the Manager Tools guidance, this is the perfect opportunity to get them trained. That and your organization incurs no downtime for travel when we come directly to you. For more information, contact Maggie at manager-tools.com.
We'll finish this one up next week. In the meantime, as always, have a great one.